Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Talk Your Walk, from the series Walk Your Talk, and shows you how the Bible warns about the lasting consequences of your words. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
In this series in James, we've been talking about how to walk your talk and what it looks like, not only just to hear the gospel and receive the gospel, but if Christ is in you, how do we walk this gospel out? And we've talked about how to endure trials and how to overcome temptation and how to receive the word and how to not show partiality and all these different things and how to walk, how to have faith that has works that accompany that. Everything that we've been reading about has been super challenging. But if you ever wanted to know if there was just one area of your Christian life you could work on that would guarantee future growth, sometimes as young Christians, we say, well, if I just knew what to do, there's so many things out there. If I could just focus on one area, that would just be great. I have that one area for you today, and it's the tongue. The tongue. The Bible tells us that if we work on the tongue, we get to control all of it. And God wants to talk about us, how to tame the tongue. And so that we're not only talking about how to walk our talk, but we're talking about how to talk our walk. How is it that our words align with our actions? How is it that we can live in such a way where what we speak and what we do is actually aligned? Now, by God's providence, because I pulled away last week and did a sermon called What in the World is Going On? I've had 2 weeks to study this text. And I think it's been God's providence as someone that speaks for a living to take a look at what God has to say about the tongue, because he doesn't mince words. He speaks directly to us about what that looks like and how it is that we can talk our walk, how it is that we can tame the tongue. And if you wanted to know how to grow in your spiritual life, God has a word for you this morning. God has a word for each and every person that's listening, because this is an area where we all come up a little short. And to do that this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. I'd like to read them to you, and then I'd like to give you some handles that you can hold on to for how it is that you, as a Christian, can talk your walk. Listen to the word of the Lord. He says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are also great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out water from the same opening, both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." And packed in these verses, God is sharing with us exactly how it is that he desires us to speak. If we're going to walk our talk, our speech is really important as to how we're going to do it. And the reason that this is such an important topic as to how we should speak is that the Bible is replete with information about the tongue. There are so many different ways that we can sin with our tongue. Here's just a few. This is not an exhaustive list, but lies, deceit, boasting, malice, slander, gossip, complaining, cursing, coarse joking, etc., 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 etc. The tongue can be used for great amounts of harm. And as you read through this text, these first 12 verses, I mean, it's almost like, don't do this and don't do that. And the tongue's evil and it's poison and it's deadly and it's untamable. And I mean, every time I read through these 12 verses over the last 2 weeks, I'm like, Jeff, just don't speak ever again. It'll be okay. But I believe that God has a word for us, and what he wants to teach us is how it is that we should speak. So I'm using the text this morning to show us how it is that we should speak so that we have handles on how God wants us to grow with him. So I'm going to give you five handles this morning as to how you can talk your walk. And the first is this. God wants us to speak with responsibility, realizing words have consequences. Speak with responsibility. Realizing words have consequences. Notice what he says. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. He says, when it comes to teaching, especially those who are gonna teach in the church, let not many of you presume that I'll just teach. Because if you're gonna speak in this place, you're speaking on behalf of God. And anytime we speak on behalf of God, there's a stricter judgment. Why? Because we're telling God's people, this is what God's saying. We better be sure that this is what God's saying. That's why I do my best to be faithful and accurate with what the word says. And I've told you, and I'll tell you again, if the word says something contrary to what I say, believe the word. I'll do my best to present the word, but I'm fallible. I'm human. God's word is what we want to listen to. That's why when God called the prophet Ezekiel, do you remember what he said to him in chapter 3 in different places? He said this, he's like, when I call you to my people and I tell you calamity's coming, if you don't tell them that calamity's coming and calamity comes, their blood will be on your head. But if you tell them calamity's coming and they refuse to listen, then their blood's on their own head. He says, you as a prophet have a responsibility to tell people what I want them to hear. Modern day translation, as a pastor, preach the word. Tell people the whole counsel of God. If you're in a church or you ever end up in a different city and you're looking for a church and they don't open the Bible and they don't preach the Bible, get out of that church. Don't be in that church. How are pastors gonna be judged on Judgment Day? For how faithfully and accurately they proclaimed God's word, right? But some of you may say, well, I'm not a pastor. Praise the Lord, that doesn't apply to me. If you're a Christian, speak responsibly. Speak with responsibility. Your words have consequences. Your words have consequences. Notice what the Lord says in verse 2. He says this. He says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. If you don't stumble in what you say, you're perfect in all that you do. He is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. In other words, if you can control the tongue, you can control it all. Now, just by show of hands, just so we know, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Help me out this morning. Is there anybody here at any time in their life wishes they could have some words back that they spoke? Anybody at all? Okay, right? The Bible says where there are many words, sin is not absent. So he who guards his lips is wise. That's Proverbs 10:19. If you speak for a living, you're gonna sin. If you're a parent and you're talking to your kids, you're gonna sin. If you're a husband, you're gonna sin. If you're a wife, you're gonna sin. If you're a child, you're gonna sin. If you work for a boss, you're gonna sin. If you're a boss, you're gonna sin. If you open your mouth, you're gonna sin. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you could control everything, then you'd be perfect. And the Bible says no one's perfect. So we've all sinned. And our words, they have consequences, don't they? They have consequences in this life, and they also have consequences in what's coming in the next life. So watch what you say, he says. Speak responsibly. It means to think about what you're going to say. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, the interesting thing about the tongue is you can't control the tongue. And the reason you can't control the tongue is because, like, everything in our body is connected.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Talk Your Walk, from the series, Walk Your Talk, showing you how the Bible warns about the lasting consequences of your words. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
Like, everything in our body is connected. You know that song, the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone to the knee bone, etc. The tongue's connected to the heart. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. Who or what you worship comes out of your mouth by what your heart is set on. What you say, the tone you say it with, the way in which you communicate it is all about what's going on inside of you. And the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can understand it? We don't have the ability by ourselves to control our heart. That's why if you go out and just try to control your tongue, you can't do it. That's why if you talk to a non-Christian and they have filthy language, they can try not to have filthy language. They can't help it because it's what's going on inside of their heart that is causing them to speak. Watch what you say. Be careful about what you say. Be responsible with what you say. What's coming out of your mouth is an indication as to what's going on in your heart, and you'll be held accountable for it. You'll be held accountable for it for how you treat other people. You'll be held accountable for it for eternity. Now, as I've said before, I am so grateful that I did not grow up in an era with social media. I'm so thankful to this day you can't look up posts that I made when I was in high school or college, right? I mean, I'm grateful for that. But it's interesting to me that our God knows every single word that I've said and has not forgotten any of them. He knows it, and I'm accountable to it. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Here's what he says. He says it like this, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment." Every careless word you and I have ever spoken about, said, wish we hadn't have said, we'll give an accounting for. "For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned." What does that mean? It means when you become a Christian, God takes over your heart and your language begins to change. And who you speak about and what you speak about is progressively different than what it was before. And by your words, you will be judged. By your words, you will be condemned. By your words, you will be justified. Right? It's what you say. What you say is an indication of what's going on inside of here. Now, let me be clear. The gospel is this. The gospel is that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to the world, who is a perfect man, who died on a cross in our place for all our sin because he knew we couldn't get this right. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. He offers life to all who will repent of their sins and trust in him. And if you've done that, the Bible says you are born again. But if you are born again, one of the evidences that you're born again is that your tongue will start to be tamed. One of the evidences that you're born again is that you will begin to speak differently than how you spoke before you were saved. And that's what he's telling us this morning. He says, when we speak, speak responsibly, for our words have consequences. We need to be accountable for what we say. We need to be accountable for what we say. It breaks my heart as a pastor, and I'm not going to spend time this morning going through a list and litany of people that I've watched in our generation that have left the preaching of the word and are now preaching a different gospel. But let me just tell you what the Apostle Paul says, and I agree with him. He says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and following, he says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which really is not another, only that there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As I have said before, so I now say, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Here's what he's saying. I'm going to preach the word. If I was trying to receive kudos and get everybody to like me, I would not preach the word, because there are so much in the pages of this book that go counter to every single culture in every single generation from the time of Christ. But what's he saying? It's the word. That's why he wants it to be clear that not many of you should become teachers. When you're going to teach, you're teaching for God. When you're going to parent, you're parenting for God. When you're going to lead in your business, you're leading for God. Speak responsibly. because you're speaking on behalf of God. That's what he says. And in Luke 9, chapter 26, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of him when I come. When I hear people say, well, that's the part of the Bible, I just don't totally agree with that. Well, that's as much Jesus as any other part of the Bible, so I totally agree with all of it. And anybody that starts messing around with God's word, you need to get out of that church. And that's about all I'm going to say about that today. Because I get irritated, and then I get angry, and then I get saddened, and then I start to think, you have no idea how big our God is. If you really knew God, you would not talk like that. You would not speak like that. You would speak in humility, and you would prepare God's people for all that is coming. Speak responsibly, because your words have consequences. Young men who are called to be pastors, don't pastor just to get a congregation to show up. Don't pastor just to attract people. Preach the word, because God is listening and hold you accountable to what you do. Amen? So speak responsibly, realizing that your words have consequences. They have consequences in this life and in the life to come. Number two is this. Speak with intentionality. Speak with intentionality, knowing you set direction. Speak with intentionality, knowing you set direction. He said, now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. He talks about two different analogies. One is a horse. He said, we put a bit into a horse's mouth, even though the horse is bigger, the horse is faster, the horse is broader. With this little bit, you can control the direction of that horse. You can steer where it's going to go. You can get it to stop or speed up just with this little thing. In the same way, a ship, huge ship at the sea, being tossed around by all the wind, is controlled by a little rudder in the back wherever the pilot wants it to go. He says, in the same way, that's what the tongue does. The tongue gives direction to life. The tongue gives direction to your life, and the tongue gives direction to the lives of those around you. It sets in course what goes on. Now, I want to be clear from the start. I'm not talking about the law of attraction. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about if you speak this, then you get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that words matter, and when you're intentional about the words, it sets direction for the people that you're talking to. Let me just ask you this question. How many can think of something hurtful that's been said to you in your life? Why is it you still remember it? Right? Because it set direction, right? All of us have things that go on in our lives where somebody at some time, knowingly or unknowingly, spoke words into our life that were not the words of the Lord. And they stuck, and they hurt, and they were wounding. And they usually come in those times where we don't even expect it. But isn't it interesting? You can go back to that spot, even if it's been a decade ago, 2 decades ago, 50 years ago, and you can remember exactly who said it, when they said it, where you were standing, how you felt. Right? Because words matter. Now finish this sentence with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will. They'll totally hurt you. My mom used to say that to me growing up, right? She was wrong. And she's watching and she knows she's wrong. Words hurt worse than about anything else, don't they? Right? Words get deep down. And that's why when we hear those negative words, we have to go before the Lord and we have to spend time with the Lord, because we have to forgive people that say things to us or about us. When I talk to young pastors, when I train young pastors, one of the things I train them in is you need to have really thick skin and keep a really tender heart, because you're going to be amazed at the things that people say about you that are so hurtful when all you're trying to do is help them, right? Thick skin. Tender heart. You have to forgive. You have to move on. You have to allow that. You have to be ready for that. And that's the stuff that they don't teach you in seminary or in school to prepare yourself for, right? Speak responsibly, because words set direction, right? Some of you heard these words growing up and it set a direction in your life where you thought you were less than or no good or unworthy or fat or stupid or dumb or lazy or whatever, that started to take you down a path that you really didn't want to go. But isn't the other just as true? Aren't there ways that people have spoken positive things over you that have changed the direction or course of your life? I remember when I played Little League as an 8-year-old, I was on a team with 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. And when I played on that team, I was the youngest kid. I was the worst kid. And I knew where I batted in the order based upon the number of people that showed up. If 9 people showed up, I batted 9th. If 14 kids showed up, I batted 14th. I struck out every single at bat as an 8-year-old. Every single one. Didn't even walk, right? But I remember my coach, Jerry Riebling, he'd put his arm around me and be like, hey, Jeff, you're just one of the young guys. Keep at it. You're going to be one of our best players someday. 2 years hence, when I was 10 years old, I made the All-Star team. I started the All-Star game as a pitcher. I was the best player in the league, right? What happened? His words mattered, right? Because what I was going to do is quit. I was like, I'm no good. I know I'm no good. Everybody in the stands knows I'm no good. My parents know I'm no good. And he would put his arm around me and say, yeah, but you can do this. I had a similar experience when I was going to school at Dallas Theological Seminary. I taught a small group with a group of 11 guys, and Howard Hendricks was in that group. And he told us, when you lead, if you want feedback to how you lead, set up an appointment and come meet with me. So I set up an appointment to meet with Howard Hendricks. And I remember I went in to see him after I taught on the Great Commission in our group. And he was taking feverish notes on a yellow tablet. And I remember thinking, while I was teaching, I am not teaching him anything that he doesn't already know. I don't know why he's taking notes. He's probably just judging me, grading me, and telling me how terrible I am. And I remember going into his office, and I was just sitting down. And he looked at me, he said, Jeff, he goes, has anybody told you how incredibly gifted you are for this kind of work? And I was thinking, no, but why don't you tell me some more about that? When we have people that speak into our lives positively, it sets direction too. And what does God want us to use our tongue for? To set direction towards him. Like, what we realize is that God created all people, and even non-Christians have intrinsic value because God created them. And if you can be the one through your tongue to point out what God placed in them, God can use your tongue to benefit other people. Non-Christians are sometimes encouraging. Non-Christians are sometimes helpful. Non-Christians are sometimes administrative. So if you can point out intrinsic value that God has placed in them and highlight that and affirm that and encourage that, your tongue matters, right? So not only are we called to speak responsibly, but we're called to speak intentionally. And intentionality doesn't mean that you can't say true things. We just are called to speak the truth in love, right? I mean, it's not necessarily wrong to tell somebody that they have bad breath because you care about them enough that you don't want them to hurt other people too, right? But it's how you're intentional and how you're doing that. And are you doing it for the betterment of others, or are you doing it to put other people down? And that's where you have to check your own heart. What's your purpose in meeting? What's your purpose in speaking? Are you being intentional to help set the direction for where God wants him to be? Speak responsibly. Speak with responsibility. Your words have consequences. Speak with intentionality, knowing that you set direction. I mean, think about it with your kids. Think about the direction you set with them, right? Think about the things that you speak over them and say to them and encourage them with. Think about the times you wish you could have words back for what you said and you wish you hadn't said it. And isn't it interesting what words we remember? I mean, you could have 100 words spoken over you that are great and one negative word, and chances are you remember the one negative word. Isn't that true? That's why we need the grace of God to continue to grow us in this, right? As we speak with responsibility and we speak with intentionality. Let me give you a third. He tells us this: speak with humility. Speak with humility by elevating God and others. Speak with humility by elevating God and others. Notice what he says. He says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts great things. Just like the rudder of a ship is small, just like the bit in a horse's mouth is small, and that small bit in a horse's mouth controls the whole horse, and the rudder on that tiny little rudder on the ship controls the whole thing. That tiny muscle in your mouth controls everything about who you are, and it boasts great things. He says, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? It only takes a small spark, and you can set a whole forest on fire. You can set all the trees up in Boulder on fire. I mean, it only takes a small little spark to get out of control. He says, here's what the tongue's like. The tongue's like a fire, the very world of iniquity or sin. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. The tongue is what you have to control, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. What does the devil go after in your life? What does he want to use? Your tongue, your mouth.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Talk Your Walk, from the series Walk Your Talk, showing you how the Bible warns about the lasting consequences of your words. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.